We're going to start a little new series here for the first part of this year. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to do a series called First Things First. And we're just going to be talking for the next few weeks about some of the priorities that I think as a church we should kind of be looking at. We're going to look at how we should try to start every year, then next week how we should try to start every month, then how we should try to start every week, and then how we should try to start every day. And I'm not necessarily saying there's a particular time, like the very beginning of the year, it has to happen, but that we would think about prioritizing this one thing every single year, or prioritizing this one thing every single month. So this week I'm going to be talking about fasting and praying. Next week, so first of the year, fast and pray. Next week, first of the month, we're going to be talking about tithing. Amen? Can someone say amen? Amen? Okay, we got a few amens. And some of you are like, I'm not coming next week. But anyways, we're going to be talking about tithing, about giving, and what that looks like. And so first of the month, tithe. The following week, first of the week, worship. You are all doing it. Congratulations. You don't even need to hear this, but we're going to talk about what it means for our hearts to get to church and start this way and be part of the gathering that worships Jesus. And then the final week is first of the day, read your Bible and pray. And it's going to be a fun series. I'm excited to do this, and it's been on my heart for quite a while. And so just join us for that. Join us for these next 4 weeks. If you know someone who's not here today that should be hearing this one today and should be getting involved with our 21-day challenge that we've been talking about, you should tell them to go and check out this sermon afterwards. It'll be up in the next couple days online. But today is fasting. And a lot of people feel quite funny about fasting. Like if I said, hey, we should get together and pray, I'd say, okay, prayer, good, that sounds nice. We should sing some songs together, go to church. Yeah, sounds good. I like all those things, that sounds nice. We should fast together. People think, nah, that's weird. It's Old Testament. It doesn't really matter anymore. We don't really think about fasting anymore. And I recognize that. I know that it's felt strange, fasting. Maybe you've never even heard of fasting, but it's all throughout the Bible. The concept behind it is that people would give something up. Generally, it has to do with food, so that something could happen. They would give something up if they were looking for deliverance. Give something up if they were looking to hear from God in a new way. Give something up if they needed protection. Give something up just so they could focus on prayer a little bit more. Whatever it might look like, fasting was this obedience to God of giving something up so that they could blank, so that they could fill in the blank after that. I was watching a little video this week from a guy who's become a pretty famous author and speaker and just developer of leaders. His name's Simon Sinek, and he is a really bright guy. I like what he had to say, but he was talking about millennials, and millennials are kind of the age group in their late 20s, early 30s, this age group that was born in the 80s and are now moving into the workplace, and he was talking about how sort of across the board people are not knowing how to deal with millennials in workplaces. They don't know how to gain job satisfaction. They can't figure out how to just love life, how to love work, how to find fulfillment. And he said that actually eventually the leaders, the bosses have started saying to them, okay, what do you need? You know, what do you actually want? If you're not going to be happy, what do you actually want then if you're going to be at this workplace? And they said, well, we want purpose. We want you know, we want to be part of something big. We want to do all of these things, and plus we want M&Ms and he said, and beanbags. But anyways, we want to have fun at work, and we want to be treated like we are what we are. We're very special people. He makes jokes about how this is because they were raised to get trophies for participation, and first place didn't matter. First and last get the same prize because everyone tried, and all these things. And then they show up into the workplace, and they're saying, I am so special, I am so nice and good, and everyone loves me, and their bosses don't, unfortunately. And so the job satisfaction was not where it was supposed to be, because they want everything, they want it now, and I deserve it. It's mine for the taking. And so I actually have a video I want to show you that I think is hilarious about millennials that kind of represents our culture in a little broader way than just millennials. But I want to show you this video quickly that was put together for a conference a couple of years back. Do you have that? I think so. Here it is.
Ding, ticka, ding, ticka, ding, 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 ding. There he sits inside your local coffee shop, sporting a man bun and facial hair. Somehow he believes, although he has no job, that by his 30s he will be a millionaire. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. On her Instagram with the quote that's inspirational, hopes to change the world while wearing yoga pants, armed with her dreams and knowledge of essential oils. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials.
It's a good one, hey? It is this. I show that. Don't worry, I'm a millennial, so it's okay. I get to poke fun at us. But it is sort of, culturally, this has become kind of the way, right? What do you want to do with your life? I want to change the world. How do you want to do that? From home. Doing whatever I want and eating, and that's all, you know? And there's this challenge where people think that they have this idealistic view of how everything is going to work out, and they're not learning how to work for it, because they just think everything is just going to come and it's just going to happen. And the big problem with the world is we've just never really thought nicely enough, and let's just think and let's just not. And there's this challenge where people aren't necessarily working for things, aren't pushing through the hard stuff and getting to the peak. Simon, the guy who I was telling you about, he said, it's like they all get to this mountain and they look up at the peak and say, I want to be there. But then when they realize they're not there yet, they don't start walking up the mountain. They just go find another mountain. They won't work for it. They won't try for it. They'll just have this idealistic view of what things should look like. And sometimes that's exactly what fasting is viewed for us. Why should I need to give anything up? God did lots of things for me. He should be just loving me. He should be coming into my life. He should be taking care of me. Why should I have to do anything for this? It's His grace that will change my life. I shouldn't have to work for it. I shouldn't have to do anything. I just shouldn't have to do that. And we take that even into fasting. I may even call you to fasting. You say, oh, yeah, I'll definitely fast. And that'll be awesome because when I fast, God will do this for me. And I will, you know, maybe I'll become really slim and beautiful and handsome. And my jawbone will show a little bit more. And my hair will grow back. No, I don't know what you can fast to make your hair grow back. But if you find out, tell me. But we start to have this idea that maybe even when we fast, here's all the things that I want God to do for me when I go and fast. Here's all the things that I want to work out in my life when I fast. I'll go and fast and God will do all of these for me. Well, God addresses this very concept in Isaiah 58. And this whole week I was trying to figure out how am I going to speak about fasting, and we could talk about all the different kinds of fasting and why it's important and why you should and all of these things, but God directed me here actually only just yesterday. And sometimes when God lays things on my heart last minute, they're the best things because I don't get them as confused as sometimes I do if I have more time with them. So I'm just going to read to you from Isaiah 58. And I want you to hear some of what God said about when people would fast and come to Him and seek Him, but totally missing the point in many ways. Isaiah 58:1, shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. This is God speaking to Isaiah. Declare to my people, the Israelites, their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob, their sins. So God comes up to Isaiah. Isaiah, I've got something so important for you to say. You're going to go and yell it out. You're all rebels. You're rebellious and you're sinners. Like, great. You know, I'm glad I wasn't a prophet in this time. Hey, they often had these things. And so you're all sinners. And then here's what God says, the very next phrase. For day after day they seek me out. This is so interesting to me. In fact, this kind of rocked my world this week. Because God's saying, he starts this all by saying, there is some sin, there's some rebellion in your hearts. Day after day you seek me. And some of us think, well, wait a second. If you seek God, then you're good. If you tell Him that you want some things from Him, then you're good. If you go and say, God, I want your plan for my life and I want your will for my life, then you're good. In fact, you're probably doing more than most other Christians are doing. But God's about to reveal to us that there was something so wrong with the way that they were seeking God that He wanted a loud voice to shout at them that they were in rebellion and that they were sinning. Crazy. So let's see what that was. Day after day, they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways. I love this. As if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the command of its God. So God says, these people keep coming to me. They keep calling for me. They keep asking for my ways. They want my guidance for them. They want to know my guidance for their life. Here it is. Do you like my boxes, by the way? Those are nice. It's a good thing we just moved and we had a bunch of boxes and packing tape to go with them. But anyways, they want my guidance. They're going to keep coming for my guidance. And that's, as if they'll actually do anything with it. They're tricking themselves that they're asking me for my plans for their life as if they'd actually do it. In other words, God's saying, I have told you my plans. I've given you my ways, and you've avoided them. What makes you think that you ask this time and all of a sudden you'll obey? Instead of asking for my guidance, why don't you go back to the last time that I guided you and you've still disobeyed that up to this day? I've told you what to do. I've given you my plan. I've given you my purpose. I've directed your steps. Why are you asking me to do that again when you disobeyed last time? So he says, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God, they ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. "Why have we fasted?" they say, "and you have not seen it, God. Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed?" See, now we're going to get into this a little bit, the fasting. Sometimes we fast. Maybe you've fasted before. And you said, "Well, I've given up something before and I actually didn't notice much change." Maybe you stopped eating for a while. You didn't feel like something shifted in you. You didn't notice a presence of God any closer to you actually in that time. Maybe you've given up Facebook, or you've given up TV, or you've done something in the past and you said, "I've already fasted and it didn't work last time, so why would I fast this time?" And that's what they're saying. Why did we even fast? Why did we humble ourselves for you? Why did we even do this? That didn't even make sense. What was the point of us giving anything up when we didn't actually see you give us your ways, give us your justice, and draw near to us? Give us your guidance. This box is not a very good wrap job, but anyways. Give us your nearness and give us your justice. Why did we even fast if you didn't give us those things? And then here's how God responds. "Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please." You do what you want. You exploit your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. God basically says, addresses these three things. He addresses nearness. He addresses justice. And he addresses guidance. He says, "You're calling on me for guidance. You want to know my way. But when you come to me and you're fasting, you're doing whatever you want anyways. You show up to me and you say, 'I'm fasting, I want to know your plans, God,' but you're living the very way that you want to live. You're not actually living how I've asked you to live anyways. You're just going to carry on doing your own thing. So why would I speak to you at all? If you come to me, 'Well, I gave up food, God.' Yeah, but you're still not choosing to live the way I asked you to live." Then God says, and by the way, not only are you living for yourself and doing whatever you please, you're exploiting your workers. In other words, what's happening here probably is that these guys are like, "Okay, everybody, I'm going to go and fast, and you guys have to work more and give up more because I'm being very religious and spiritual, and I'm doing a really good job fasting, so everyone else has to pick up the slack around me. You all have to go and do whatever I ask, whenever I ask, because I'm going to go spend some time with God in my hunger because I'm fasting." He says, "You're exploiting your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists." This one, I believe, is justice. You ask for justice. But then when I want to give you justice, why would I give you justice when I've shown you how to be just and you're not doing anything to help anyone else? In fact, all you're doing is fighting for your own justice. God, who's right? Is it me or that guy? Because I think I'm right, so would you come and strike that guy with lightning because I'm right and he's wrong? Would you do something to that person? No? Okay, well, I'll take things into my own hands. Now that I'm done fasting, I'm going to go and beat him up. What? God says, what are you doing? You give up food, but then you're acting this way. You give up this one thing, but then you behave this way. You can't have it all. You can't have all of the things that you're holding on to and my presence and what I have for you. You can't just say, "I'll give up food and that'll be good," or "I'll give up TV," or "I'll give up something that's really easy for me to give up and I'll put it aside. But if I do that, God, I better get filled up like crazy and be so incredibly, awesomely spiritual after that." And God says, "Well, it would help if you stop punching people. It would help if you stop exploiting others. It would help if you stop with the unforgiveness in your heart. It would help if you let go of the bitterness that you're holding on to." That's what you got to let go of if you want to fast. You want to know the presence of God. He says, "You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high." Crazy thought. God says, just because you fast doesn't mean I'm going to hear you. Whoa. Doesn't mean your voice is going to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call it a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide for the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. God is addressing fasting. And he's saying to us, you can go ahead and do what you're going to do, but if it doesn't affect those around you in a positive way, you're already not actually asking for justice. Because if you want justice in your life, look around you. How many people need it? How many people are broken? How many people don't have food? How many people don't have clothing? How many people don't have shelter? How many people are being abused? And you're asking me to settle your little issues and come and strike lightning on that one person that's hurt you? Get over yourself and figure out how to serve the needs of the people around you that are broken. Start delivering my justice to the world, and then watch how my presence comes to you. This is the fast that God calls us to. Not that we would give up something and hope that God would give us our nice guidance, show us what to do, that he would have nearness to us, and that he would give us justice in our little disputes. But that he would direct our steps into the good things that he's already called us into. Sometimes guidance, we think guidance is kind of like, it's like what a millennial would do, like what a lot of people do. So what do you want to do in your life? And we say, God, I want to change the world. So what continent do you want me to overpower and take over and show your great strength to? Do you want me to become president? Okay, I'll be president of the United States. Do you want me to become prime minister? I'll be prime minister of Canada. What do you want me to do? It's probably something huge like that, God. Would you like us to start a new global empire and I'll just take over that? That would be great, God. I'll do that. So just tell me what to do. And God says, sure, I will tell you. I'll tell you the exact same thing I told you last time. Go sit beside your grandma who's in the hospital because she needs you. Yeah, okay, but what big thing do you have for me? I'll tell you the same thing I told you last time. Go serve in the soup kitchen. Yeah, I know, but I want to change the world. I mean, I could change a few, but I want to change the world. I'll tell you the same thing I told you last time. Just go help out at your church. Write that card of encouragement to that person. I'll tell you the same thing I told you last time. Go and forgive that person that hurt you. I'll tell you the same thing I told you last time. Would you go and give that thing away to that person? Would you go and give that shirt that you love, that you think is the best shirt and someone else loves too? Just go and give it away. I'll just tell you the same thing. No, I want to change the world. That would change one life. I want to change the world, God. And God's saying, you want my ways. I've given you my ways and you're not following them because you actually come to me saying, I want your ways, but you want me to give you your plans back to you. I want you to give your plans to me so I can give you my plans for you. This is what fasting does for us. This is where fasting leads us. Fasting in itself is not an automatic, we get God's everything right then. Fasting often just gives us the space we need to recognize the things in our own life to lay down. Whoa. When I'm not on Facebook all the time, I can recognize that I'm holding on to a lot of bitterness in my life. I need to let that go. I can recognize that I'm holding on to a lot of pride in my life. I need to let that go. Recognize that I'm holding on to this future that I think I should have and God has told me I'm not going to have, but I think I should have it. I recognize that I need to let that go. And fasting opens up the door for that. I'd like to invite a handsome volunteer up here. Oh, you're already moving, Pastor George. How do you know I wasn't going to invite someone else? Pastor George here is handsome, and he stands up. And it's, did someone call my name? You know? I saw Jessica nudging him too. That's you, George. I know it is. Okay. I've asked Pastor George to come up, and we're going to go ahead, and I'm just going to show you what this looks like. What we come to God with is we say, God, I want your justice. Be careful with this one. It's a little fragile. I want your justice in my life. In other words, God, I want you to get the person who was mean to me in trouble. In fact, if you can squish them like a bug, that would be best. So I want you to deal with the people who have hurt me. Okay, God, would you just do that for me? I want you to do that so I'm willing to fast so I can get that. And then, God, by the way, I want your nearness. I want you to come near to me. I want to know your presence. I want to feel you. I'm willing to give up my zoodles once a week so I can have your presence. Anyone know what zoodles is? Alfagetti, maybe? Ravioli? Anyways. I'll give up my food this week so that I can know your nearness. That's what I want. Oh, and by the way, God, I also want your guidance. Tell me what to do with my life. Tell me where to go. So that's what I want. And so what we do is we've got, you know, maybe for you, you've got television like this, and you say, okay, I've got television, and that's something that I need to give up. I spend a lot of time watching TV. Maybe that's you, and you're like, yeah, I watched the game, and then the other game, and then the other game, and then the other game, and then the news, and then this TV show. And anyone like the cooking shows? I just love the cooking shows. I don't know. Anyways, the cooking shows, or maybe you're a do-it-yourself show. Anyways, you watch a lot of TV, or maybe for you it's Instagram. You know, I just follow a lot of people on Instagram, and I just spend a lot of time scrolling. I just love Instagram. I don't know. Maybe for you it's your friendships. You feel like, I just take a lot of time with my friends. Maybe they're not good friendships. Maybe they're great friendships. But you think, I never have any time to spend with God because I'm always with my friends. Or maybe for you it's not friendships, it's Facebook. Friendships on Facebook. Where you think, no, I just scroll through, I check on things, I want to know what's going on, and maybe you justify it and say, this helps me pray for people by snooping on their stuff and trying to, this just helps me know their heart and know where they're at and know their sins. Maybe that's you, or it's a Facebook, and that's one of the things that you feel like when Pastor Evan says fast, I'll fast that. Maybe it's shopping for you. You're good. My faith is good as long as I've got that nice new pair of shoes every week, you know, or maybe it's just as long as I get my coffee from Starbucks every day, I am so good with God. We're good. As long as he lets me do that, you know. Maybe that's it for you, or maybe it's food for you. And it's more of the classic where you just say, I just take a lot of time eating, and I'm always thinking about that next meal, so I should probably give that up so I can know God. Well, here's what we do often when we fast. We say, I'm going to give up food. There we go. Food, you're gone. I'm just going to push you aside for a while. Or maybe it was shopping. I'm just going to push you aside for a while. And so then after that, I'll be good. And I'll be able to focus on God. And actually, maybe some of you say, I'm going to get rid of this Facebook, or I'm going to dump my friends. Just kidding. Don't dump your friends. But maybe it's, I need to spend a little less time just doing nothing with my friends so I can focus a little bit on God. Or maybe you say, I'm actually going to go for 21 days, give up Instagram. I'm not going to look at people's life anymore for a little while, and I don't know what I'm going to do or what I'm going to gossip about, but I'm going to give that up for a while. Or television. Say, I'm just going to drop, does anyone say television anymore? TV, anyways. I'm just going to give up TV for a while and say, good, wow, look how holy I am, right? Look how good I am. I'm doing all of these things, and we're just like the Israelites who say, God, we're doing all the proper things. We've fasted all of these things. Now I want your guidance, your nearness, and your justice. And God says, okay, here they are. Go ahead, grab my justice. Grab it. No, grab it. Don't drop that. Whoa, 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 don't drop that. You know, if you want God's justice, he says, here's my justice. I'll lay it out for you. You're just going to have to put these down. If you want my justice, you got to put down your idea of justice. If you want my justice in this world, you got to stop figuring that it's all about justice for you. You got to start recognizing that I think about this entire planet. I think about people in Africa who are struggling. I think about the refugees from Syria. I think about the broken in your neighborhood. I think about the homeless that don't have anywhere to go. I think about the addicted. I think about the abused. I think about the enslaved. You want my justice, you better put down your system of justice so you can take up my justice if you actually want it. We say, God, I just want your nearness. Draw near to me. Bible says, if you will draw near to him, he will draw near to you. I just want you to draw near to me, God. God's saying, okay, sounds good. Oh, sorry. Looks like I can't right now. There's a little bit of insulation there. There's a little bit blocking me. There's a little bit keeping me from you. Say, God, I just want your nearness. Okay, put those things down so I can come close to you. No. I just want you to come close to me. And he says, I will when you come close to me. And you won't come close to me until you lay down what you're holding. He says, okay, here, if you want my guidance, come and get it. But you got to stop living for yourself then. Because you've been guiding yourself. You've been directing your own steps. You've been deciding where you're going to go with your life. You've been making your plans and maybe made some wise decisions with your finances. You've made some wise decisions with your family. You've done as best as you can, but you've been making the decisions. You've been guiding your steps. And you come and say, God, I want to know what you want me to do with my life. And he draws you right back to this one, says, go pick up the thing I already gave you. And until you do, you won't know the next step. As long as you want to guide your life, I'm not going to guide your life. As long as you're just going to ask me for my nearness and you're not going to actually put down some stuff so you can come to me, you won't know my nearness. And as long as you're going to fight for your own justice, you'll never know mine. So fasting, what it actually did for this, is before when Instagram was here, Pastor George couldn't see these three things. Fasting removed this, and all of a sudden he can see what he's actually holding. See, Instagram, you're probably going to pick it up in 21 more days. Put it down for 21, feel really holy, pick it back up, and it's still sitting on a terrible foundation. Your justice, your expectation of God without any work of your own, your guidance for your own life without God's plan for your life. You put it back on, and away you go, and you think, I don't know why I haven't known God's nearness. And he says, well, it's over there. You can pick it up if you just put these things down. So when Instagram gets removed, all of a sudden you have some time in your life. You freed up some schedule space. You have a chance to look at this, say, oh, I've been guiding my own life, and now's when you make the hard decisions. The hard decision isn't to get rid of Instagram. The hard decision comes when you look at this and say, would I put this down or not? Am I okay with God's plan for my life, or do I want my own? If I want my own, then it stays right there, and his guidance stays over there. But if I want his, then I toss this aside, and now I can pick up his guidance. Maybe Pastor George says, you know what, I also recognize that I've been asking God to do a whole lot of this relationship on his own, and I'm not doing much to develop this relationship at all. So I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to remove my expectation of his nearness without my drawing into him. I'm going to recognize that the Bible says, seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I'm going to start seeking him. I'm going to take some responsibility for the relationship between myself and God. And I'm going to believe that as I do, his promise is true, that as I draw near to him, he will draw near to me. I'll take on his. And maybe lastly, I'm going to figure out how to forgive the people who have hurt me. I'm going to stop asking God to hurt people for me because they've hurt me. And I'm going to recognize instead all the hurts that are around the world, all the hurts that are in my neighborhood, all the hurts that I've caused in my family, in my relationship. I'm going to recognize the bitterness that I'm holding on to and the unforgiveness that I'm keeping in my heart. And instead, I'm going to ask God to give me His heart for justice. I'll clean the slate in my life, forgive who I need to forgive, let go of what I need to let go of, so that I can take on His justice and start fighting for the things that He says I should fight for, that I would loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke to set the oppressed free and break every yoke, that I would share food with the hungry, that I would provide for the poor wanderer with shelter, and that when I see the naked, I would clothe him. And all of a sudden, you're carrying this. Well, next time, you come back after fasting and you put on friendship, and it's sitting on this foundation. Your friendship, you see through the justice of God. That friend that you were so mad at, you've forgiven them. In fact, maybe you start a new group together where you go out and serve other people and take care of them, because now you've got the justice of God as the foundation in your life rather than the justice of yourself. And things start to change. This is fasting. This is true fasting that God calls us to. That we would get rid of the things that would allow us to recognize what we're holding on to, that are keeping us from taking up the things of God. Thank you, Pastor George. Hey, we're going to make it through a second service. Amen. Worship team, you can come on up. I hope that becomes clear for you. I hope you start to recognize that and recognize what it is doing to you when you hold on to the injustice that has been done against you. It'll usually keep you from caring about the injustices of the world that you're supposed to care about. What it'll do to you when you feel like God is never near to me. He never comes close. I can never feel His presence. And what it would do for your relationship if you would start to take a little bit of ownership for that. And recognize, why would you feel His presence when you're holding on to all these other things? God, I've got my unforgiveness here, and my bitterness here. I've got my disappointments here, and my shame here. I've got all of these other things. But hey, you can fit too. Come on in. God said, I don't fit there. I want to be the one in your heart. I want to be working through your life so that everything you touch, everything you do, everything you care about is because of me. And we can't get there when we're holding on to all this other stuff. And so I want to encourage you as a church to consider fasting. Something. Maybe it's food for 21 days. Maybe you want to do it for a week within the 21 days. Maybe you want to pick a meal. You know what? I'm going to give up breakfasts or something like that. Maybe it's going out for coffees. Maybe it is Facebook. Maybe it is TV. Maybe it is whatever. But what I want you to know about that is that when you step into that, when you give something up, it's not like you seek God and all of a sudden His presence will come because you gave something up. Sometimes what His presence will actually do to you is point out the things that you're holding on to. And now you've given Him enough time to speak. And He starts speaking to you about the stuff you're holding on to that needs to get out of your hands if you want the justice that He has, the nearness that He has, and the guidance that He has. Fasting may make some things clear that are going to be hard to see. And you're going to have to decide what you do with those. And when you decide that you want God's justice instead of your own for your life, that you want His nearness instead of, and you're willing to give some instead of just putting all the onus on Him to get to you and meet you in all of what you're doing. When you start to do the things that He called you to do long ago, instead of saying, God, what's the bigger thing that you have for me? You're going to start to find that God gives you something that you've never had before. Here's where it goes. He says, your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with pointing the finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. He will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of the street of dwellings, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy days. You will call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable. And if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Anyone want that? Because I do. I want to know that joy in the Lord. I don't know if you feel like I do sometimes, where you come to church and you're trying to stir it up, and I know there's supposed to be joy here and I know I'm supposed to be excited, but life has got me tired, I'm worn out, feeling overwhelmed. God says to us, time to drop some of the things that you're holding on to. Pick up the things I have for you and run the race I've got for you. And when you do, I'll be there for you. I'll walk with you. I'll empower you. I'll give you strength, and I'll give you joy to walk the race that you're walking. This is something only God can do for you. He wants to. He wants to do it for you. He wants to do it for me. And we will find him as we decide that we're willing to give up some of our wants to get the very things that we need from him. His joy, his deliverance, his life, his goodness, his passion, his purpose. And so the response to today's message is that you would go and consider how you might fast for these next 21 days. Consider what you might give up so that you could just give yourself some time. Don't give up something that you give up something, you take on something else. Give up something that actually gives you some time to think, some moments to consider, because God's going to want to point out the ugly in your heart. And he's going to ask you if you'll give that up so you can pick up what he has for you. You have to decide what you do with that then. And I'm praying that in strength and courage, you would toss the junk in your heart out so you could take up the things that he has for you and know the joy that he wants you to know. I just want to pray for you. God, we don't want to be people who try everything on our own strength. Sometimes we try to be joyful. It doesn't work. Life can take us to a new low. Things can beat us up, but God, you have promised your joy if we would fast the way you've called us to fast. If we would give up our ways and take on your ways, if we would give up our justice systems and serve your justice systems in this world. If we would give up this idea that you should be the only one who does anything in this relationship and we don't have to do anything, and we would decide that we're going to seek you with all of our hearts. God, you will give us joy. And we want it. I pray, Lord, today you would speak into hearts. You would give wisdom. You would give decision-making ability into hearts, God. And that as people decide to give something up so that they might have time to pray, time to think, time to read their Bible, time to listen to you, that they would have the courage and strength to do what you say as they do. Teach us how to walk with you, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for this life that you've given us. Thank you that you don't want us to live it without you, but you want us to have your presence. And so, God, I pray that we would recognize the things we need to throw down to experience your goodness, your fullness, your presence in life. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, some of you need to throw down your unbelief. God is just speaking that to me. Some of you just need to throw down your unbelief and take up his life. Take up his salvation for your soul, for your life. Give yourself over to him fully and watch how he gives you joy, new life, new joy. And if that's you today, come and speak with one of us at the front. We would love to chat with you And then we'd love to point you through how to fill out a connect card and get you into this church, get you connected with people who want to walk with you in this life. Thank you so much for this week. Have a fun time fasting. Come on back out Thursday night. We're going to be in here worshiping and praying, and it's going to be a fun time. It's a new thing for us to do, and we're excited to do it. We want to seek God. We want to know Him. We want to have His presence in our life and in this church and in the Comox Valley. Amen? Amen. Have a great week. Let's all stand up. Give someone a handshake. These guys will play something as we go, but we have a great week. We'll see you next week. Bring someone